You're listening to KBIA's Off the Clock, a weekly guide to arts and culture across the state. I'm Scarlett Robertson. MU grad Dan Lindsay's Oscar-nominated film Undefeated chronicles the players and coaches of an underdog high school football team in North Memphis. The documentary will open and close the True-False Film Festival next weekend. Lindsay spoke with KBIA's Nick Gass about making the film and the chance encounter that propelled him into directing.
How did you sort of transition from graduating? Like, how did you make those connections and sort of...
I went to Kinko's to copy my resume, and then the rest is history. and as that is kind of, I'm joking, but that's also kind of the truth. Well, I went to the summer in between my junior and senior year. I went to USC's film program. I kind of did that just to make sure that this was what I wanted to do, and then moved out to LA right after college, and then literally was copying my resume at Kinko's and met this guy there who had grown up in LA and his family had a lot of contacts in the business, and he took a copy of my resume and kind of started passing around, was able to introduce me to some people, and then 9/11 happened, and this guy was a journalist himself. He had written for the Chicago Sun-Times for a long time and a bunch of other publications, and he called me on September 11th. He's like, I know you have a camera. He's like, you know, what do you think about driving from LA to New York and interviewing people along the way to get their reactions to what has happened? And that kind of was the birth of this hour-long television thing that we did that was on the Discovery Times Network.
I read or listened to an interview where you or one of your producers mentioned that you got some of your best sound just sort of by sitting back and just observing. But were there times where you, when you interviewed the people that, I mean, certain things that you did that got better tape?
No. I mean, literally, I mean, our interviews were more gathering information. You know, as we'd sit down with a player, for instance, I mean, one of the players on the team, Chavis, who, you know, had some kind of serious anger issues and behavioral problems. And, you know, it took us a long time to warm up to him. So we went and did a 3.5-hour interview with him at his house one day, but not one bit of that interview is used in the film. That was more about sitting down with him and asking him questions and getting to know more about him and him getting to know us a little bit so that then he felt more comfortable the next time we were in the locker room or on the field or in the school.
Before you come to Columbia next, well, 2 weeks from now, I guess, next weekend you'll be in LA for the Oscars. Right. So what was that like? Were you expecting a nomination?
not at all. No. When we made the short list, I was so not even, like, I just wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know that the short list came out that day. So, like, me and my directing partner, TJ, were working on something else, and suddenly our phones just started buzzing and ringing, and, you know, we're like, congratulations, you made the shortlist for the Oscars. And I was like, that's incredible. I was like, well, that's, you know, no way we're going to get nominated. And then on the day of the nominations, I was asleep and got a phone call from our publicist, and she was kind of screaming into my ear that I was an Oscar-nominated director, which was a total surprise. If you're kind of aware of the film business, Harvey Weinstein, who owns the company that's distributing our film,
right,
you know, has a pretty good track record of success, but he's never had a documentary. And the documentary nominations are a very different beast altogether. So, you know, it was a surprise for everybody, and but a very, very welcome surprise.
That was KBIA's Nick Gass talking to director Dan Lindsay about his film Undefeated. Tune in next Friday for part two of the interview. One of the more interesting events at True False this year isn't even a film. The Third Coast International Audio Festival curates sound-rich audio documentaries from around the world. And this year, they're bringing a few favorites to Columbia. KBIA's Scott Pham spoke with Third Coast's artistic director, Julie Shapiro.
This year, we are presenting the Third Coast Breakfast Club, which means we're going to infiltrate the film festival and bring audio stories to people in the morning, in the dark. And all of these stories are going to center around the idea of darkness. The reel is titled Lights Out, but it will basically be like sitting down to watch a program of short films, except there's no film. It's going to be all audio.
When you say breakfast club, do you mean like 80s movie breakfast club, or do you mean like we'll be sitting there drinking coffee and eating knishes?
I mean breakfast club is a signal that there will be coffee and cereal served, I'm told. And we have been trying to poll our audience to ask what kind of cereal they think best goes with listening to the radio. I haven't gotten as much response as I'd like. So if anyone hearing this has any suggestions, they should, you know, get in touch with you and you should get that information over to Paul and David. And the one thing I'm a little concerned about is cereal can be very crunchy.
I was going to say,
it could be a very noisy distraction from listening to the audio. So we're going to ask people to kind of not crunch so loud, or maybe just gum their cereal as they're eating it, or let it get soggy. Maybe that's the – I think actually that's the solution. That we'll ask people to let their cereal get a little soggy before they eat it so they don't distract their neighbors.
I was thinking, what's different about screening, you know, in air quotes, screening a – radio story? How does that change the experience, do you think?
I think it just kind of elevates your listening experience because you really can zone into the stories.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear more.
Yeah, you just said it in two words. You hear more. You hear better. You we have a saying that we like to, well, we've put it on a button, take a closer listen. And you get to take a closer listen when you're in a theater setting like that, because that's what's expected of you. You come and, you know, usually lights go down, everyone gets quiet, and you're just swept away by the story. Well, we think you can have that experience without necessarily watching the film. You can have it just through hearing the audio in the darkened theater. We also have a public audio challenge that we've just announced this week called the Short Docs Challenge. And this is something that kind of throws open the doors of radio to anyone and everyone that's interested in getting involved. We challenge people to make a 3-minute audio story that follows a specific set of rules. We're teaming up with a website called Every Block that is a sort of online portal for community solidarity and neighborliness. So the rules for this Short Docs Challenge are to make a 3-minute story that features at least two of your neighbors, includes a color in the title, and involves 3 seconds, 3 consecutive seconds of narrative silence.
Which of the stories in the Lights Out series are you really excited to be showing us?
Well, of course, all of them, but there
I know
are
they're all your children.
Yeah, it's hard to pick favorites. I think the reel starts out really strongly with Lights Out by Delaney Hall, which is an incredibly energetic piece about a blackout in New York City that happened many years ago, and how this theory that hip hop might have gotten its start from the looting that occurred during this blackout gets sort of teased out throughout the documentary. And Delaney will be around to answer questions after the screening.
I want to point out a personal favorite. I've heard this before, but Moon Graffiti by Jonathan Mitchell and Hillary Frank is one of my favorite pieces of the past 2 years, maybe.
It's an incredible story because it's one of the only examples of radio theater, radio drama that we've heard that feels contemporary, that takes storytelling to a new level, blends fact and fiction, is beautifully produced, and really gets you thinking about what if the moon landing had sort of happened in a different way. So I agree, that's an incredible piece of radio. We had never heard anything like it when we heard it. I also should say that the last story in the screening is a personal favorite of mine. It's called First Steps, and it's a story narrated by a new father. And it's important not to give away any of the details, but I will say that this one had me weeping in public on the L in Chicago. I still remember exactly what stop I was at when the story ended and I emerged out into the world having just heard this story. Really beautiful, very subtle production and great storytelling.
Great. And one last thing is there will be an event at the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the University of Missouri, too. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to be in the Tucker Forum at 11:30 on Friday, March 2nd. And this listening room is titled News Can Sound Beautiful. We're going to embrace the J-School vibe all around us. It'll be very different from what we do on Saturday at True False, where we're going to play some news stories that have maybe a little more sound design and sound element than you would expect from a news story, and talk about the fact that news can indeed sound beautiful.
Catch the Third Coast crew at the Little Ragtag Theater on March 3rd at 10 a.m. for Lights Out. And that's it for Off the Clock this week. Thanks for listening, and have a good weekend.